enriched meeting. I am going to call this special meeting of the River Access Study Committee of the Canton Board of Selectmen to order on Wednesday, January 6th, 2021. It is 4:03 by my clock. And let the record show that Warren Humphrey, Robert Bessel, and Claudia Nardi are in attendance. And we've got 5 participants.
Let's see. We have Stefan and Steve Violette.
Steve Violette and Stefan. Okay, yeah. Great. Hey, guys. So, great. And let's see. So, let's see. Public forum, we have heard. Well, Stefan and I have been corresponding and chatting, and the product of that is going to be discussed a little bit later on. We've been talking quite a bit about the River Steward Program, and that will be on item E. So let me ask if anyone has, you know, Stefan or Steve have anything to say at this point?
No, not at the moment.
Okay.
The only thing I got is I have been talking to my neighbors, and they're very appreciative of the fact that we're actually doing this.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Then let's go on to the item D, which is approval of the December 16th minutes. And as organized as I am, I have to admit that I don't... that I do not have those minutes with me right now. I don't know why, but I did read them, and they looked okay to me. Warren, are you good?
I move that we approve the meeting minutes from the December 16th meeting.
Okay, and I'll second that motion and call the question. Aye, so those pass. So we now move on to the River Steward review of the impossible approval of the Canton River Steward Program. I know Stefan and I have corresponded a bit about this. He provided a kind of an overview of the program with some ideas on it and some potential costs for some costs for the existing program. And then we talked a little bit about the parameters of that program. I'm going to characterize it a little bit, and Stefan, I encourage you to weigh in and correct all the things, you know, the misrepresentations that I'm about to make about this program. Stefan is the basically the architect of this program, which is offered through the Farmington River Coordinating Committee. Been in existence since 2014, and through it, Stefan manages approximately three to four paid volunteers every summer, and in addition to that, there are another 3 or 4 unpaid volunteers who work on the river. These folks are paid for by and Stefan's time. They're compensated by the federal government as part of the wild and scenic funding that they receive every year. Costs are approximately $17,000 for Stefan and $3,120 per paid river steward. And for that, Stefan puts out the call for river stewards in the early spring, recruits the stewards that he needs, and then trains them, and they are deployed right around Memorial Day, and they're basically working, and Stefan trains them and keeps an eye on them, but they're basically working Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. From from early June to about mid to late August, depending on what their schedule is. They're mostly college students.
So it's not all the way to the Labor Day then, usually. Yeah.
Not all the way to Labor Day.
Okay.
If the last year's experience is, you know, somewhat indicative, the traffic tends to rise significantly right around 4th of July when the weather, you know, really gets warm.
Yep. Yep.
And it starts to fall off at the beginning, you know, starting in the beginning of August, you know, depending on weather again. When it get that first bit of cooler weather, the traffic really comes down. So these are the folks who, you know, kind of guide users as they enter the river, you know, answer questions, provide some safety tips. They are not involved in enforcement. They do clean up education. They provide suggestions, knowledge about the river and species and all that. So they are helpers. If there is a problem, they will refer, you know, they will call out to econ and other and police and other authorities, but they are not enforcement. When we talked about this before I go any further with this, Stefan, have I misrepresented what's going on here, or is there something that needs to be added?
No, I think that was a great summary. You know, the question about Labor Day, that's really due just to the Stewart schedule. Most of them are going back to school usually the second or third week in August, so we kind of have to, you know, since most of our paid stewards are college students, we usually lose them before the Labor Day weekend. And the amount that you said for the stewards, we're asking them to work 16 hours a weekend, and we give them a little bit of flexibility. So those 16 hours, they can spread out between Friday and Sunday. So, you know, some will choose to work 2 8-hour days. Others will work, you know, maybe a five and a six. And the reason for that is we find, you know, this part-time position for the stewards sometimes isn't enough, so they often get other jobs during the summer. And, you know, with that little bit of flexibility, it helps them work into whatever schedule they have.
Okay, yeah. Now going forward, I mean, we talked about potentially expanding that program or asking Stefan to expand that program and perhaps even, you know, fund a couple of river stewards to work in Canton. Most of the stewards right now, they're working only in the wild. All of the stewards are now working in the wild and scenic area, which extends to what about the
Nepaug,
yeah. Which is right about where Cherry Brook comes in.
A little bit south of that. It's actually south, between the Whirly Bridge and Town Bridge.
Okay.
I'll say roughly halfway.
All right. So that leaves out, you know, that whole area where Town Bridge. We've got Town Bridge. We've got the Riverside Nursery. We have that party place. What was that called? Something Rock.
Laughlin Rock.
Yeah. We're learning all kinds of things, and of course,
yes,
you know,
we are.
The DPW garage. Yeah, we found out where the party place was, Claudia.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
Are you trying to insinuate something?
Yeah, and then the and also Canton Canoe and Kayak, that area down by Collinsville.
Flaherty Rock.
Flaherty Rock. Yeah. Larry, we're going to have to find out how it got its name. I'm sure there.
I'm sure I don't want to know.
Oh, I'm sure it's a story.
Yes, and, I guess.
But in order to do that, we would need to do that sort of apart from the current program. I mean, what attracted me and I think us to the idea of the River Stewards is, number one, the program exists.
Right.
And it's gone on for a while. I'm assuming that most of the kinks have been worked out of it. step on knows this thing backwards, forwards, inside out. And, you know, he and I have talked about expanding it. And if I can paraphrase again, Stefan, you know, adding a few more in terms of your responsibilities would not be difficult, correct? Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, you know, I you know, as we discussed, Bob, we had a meeting at our FRCC subcommittee the other day, and you know, we're very excited to get more involved with Canton. The sharing of information and resources, you know, that we'd be more than happy to do that. And one of the things that we were talking about was bringing any stewards that you may hire through our training at the beginning of the year, and maybe have them shadow, you know, our stewards for maybe a couple weekends, of, you know, in the beginning of June, and then bring that knowledge back down to the river, you know, just for the rest of the group. Obviously, Bob, you and I talked about this. The one concern our committee has is, you know, we're very specific where our funds need to be spent. You know, we get funding for the wild and scenic section, you know, so my time as far as funding from FRCC goes would have to be for projects that are on that wild and scenic section. You know, anything, any help that, you know, you guys may require of me outside of that area, you know, if you're talking about doing some work down by Collinsville Canoe and Kayak, or maybe a new access point that you built, you know, then we'd have to somehow arrange that outside of my current funding. But, you know, we're happy to share knowledge and resources and training. And, you know, I think the goal would be to have a very uniform experience for users going down the river. You know, I don't think it would do anybody any good if we weren't on the same page with things. You know, if the rivers floated through New Hartford and there was a certain message being conveyed there, and then it was completely different when they get to Canton. So I think, you know, we have to coordinate our efforts so that, you know, it's kind of one seamless message all the way down the river.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm really glad that you're saying that, you know, to have them go through the same training and to have that opportunity to do job shadowing, I think makes a lot of sense.
I mean, to kind of lay my cards out here, I would much rather prefer, what was it, $3,700 per steward that you were talking about, that we multiply that by X number of stewards that we want, 2, 3, something like that. Yep. And then add a bit more for Stefan's management in there, and then just give them the money and let them run the program if there was some. That's how I would prefer to do it, rather than try to set up our own organization. And
I kicked it around a little bit with Bob, and I'm of the same mind, and Bob Skinner was also thinking the same, along the same way. You know, here's something that works, and you know, and the money seems like it could work very well. And there's interest. If I remember correctly, I think Canoe and Kayak, Sue Warner on our last call was was excited about the idea that about having river stewards, and even offered to fund one of them. And I believe Ted Schaefer from Burlington expressed some interest as well. So I think there's a real opportunity here to expand the program without incurring extra cost on the part of FRCC, to create some uniformity, you know, down from the Neepog River, you know, down into Collinsville, right, and then right, perhaps into Burlington, even Avon.
Basically, we almost really is, well, in some ways we got to look at the stretch of river that is most important to us is essentially Satan's Kingdom, just above the gorge there, yeah, all the way down to the dam in Collinsville.
Yeah.
And so if we get consistency across there, I think that is to our benefit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So Stefan. Now, did FRCC, Stefan, did you guys discuss any possibility about additional outside funding to expand the geographic area of the program?
Well, you know, again, their main concern is somehow figuring out how to do this where, you know, the federal funds that they receive are just for the wild and scenic stretch. Because, you know, in some ways our messaging may be a little bit different, you know, because those funds we use, I mean, their main goal is to create awareness for wild and scenic and to protect wild and scenic. And, you know, part of what your interest may be once you get out of wild and scenic, you know, further down towards the center of town, you know, the wild and scenic messaging that we do is you know, not necessarily appropriate for that part of your river. So, you know, again, it's...
We're good. Yeah, but contradictory?
Yeah. Great, thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
You know, as far as I think how the behavior on the river, what we're hoping for, and
or even the message.
Yeah, I mean, it may not be. I guess that's something that
I would think I think there are going to be some areas of emphasis that will be a little different down in our neck of the woods, and I think we will probably, you know, we'll probably have to evolve into this a little bit. You know, I'm thinking we should, first of all, just see if FRCC is amenable to this and under kind of like what terms.
Right.
And then talk to the Warners and see kind of what they're thinking. I mean, because the Satan's Kingdom thing, that's already being done.
Right. I only added that is that, you know, we're talking about trying to give some kind of consistent message down the river. And, you know, in my opinion, it kind of starts, you know, my concern starts there.
Yeah.
That's really all I was indicating.
Oh, sure. No.
Actually, that was, I was going to bring that up there to clarify. So do you see... You know, I completely agree that Satan's Kingdom is the start of some people that may end up, you know, in your area. You know, they may not necessarily take out at the normal takeout. They may go further downstream, although, the majority of them probably do take out there. But, I mean, would you consider the stewards that you bring on working all the way up as far as Satan's Kingdom?
I would not be against it. Let me try to guess the answer that you're after and see if I can give it to you.
I think the answer is yes, Warren. Yeah,
the thing is that I would feel comfortable, and Bob Bessel and I have not talked about this, but I would feel comfortable with letting the Canton paid stewards basically run anywhere in that stretch that you guys needed them and used them and assigned them, as long as we got the section south of Nepaug covered as well as the north of Nepaug. I would not have a problem with that.
Yeah, I'm of the same mind. I think in order to know that, we're going to need to have kind of define what we mean by coverage, you know, south of Nepaug. But yeah, I see that as an important thing.
I would guess that would you know, be that would be pretty well received by the FRCC if your stewards were willing to come up a little higher. And you know, Satan's Kingdom is definitely one of our priority areas. So if we had a little extra help in there, that I think would go a long way with the FRCC to make this happen.
Makes sense.
Because the coverage dates that you're talking about, essentially early June to late August, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 16 hours a steward for the weekend, I mean, that really pretty much fits my mental image as to where we want coverage. I mean, that's what I'm thinking anyways.
All right, so what would be our next steps here, Stefan? I take it that perhaps you and I chat, get a meeting with FRCC and just see, just kind of work out how this might work?
Yeah, you know, I think we definitely need to bring David back in. You know, unfortunately, he's usually working at this time of day, so that's why he can't attend these meetings. But we need to bring David back in and then talk with Liz Lacey, who's the Park Service rep, and also Dan Bowler, who's the chair of FRCC.
Okay, so Dave Sinish, Dan Bowler, and Liz Lacey.
Yeah.
And I would say that Bob Skinner would certainly appreciate being involved in this too.
We don't even need to make that a formal subcommittee meeting, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
You're basically kind of negotiating, and then before we actually executed anything, you'd have to come back to the subcommittee, and I think I'd like to do this quick enough that we can put it into our budget submission by the end of the month.
I'm hoping that we'd have a proposal, say, for our next meeting, you know, which would be in about 2 weeks, and then we could propose if we can then recommend it to the Board of Selectmen.
Exactly.
You know, then they can approve it as part of the budget.
My thinking is, and I'm just guessing here now, because we said there was about 3 to 4 in the wild and scenic portion, and I'm thinking we could supplement that with 2 to 1 to 3. I'm not sure what number you're thinking of. If you got any advice from Stefan at all on that, but I don't think we need more than they do, than they've got up there. I don't know. Maybe I'm misleading myself.
I think you're right. You're spot on.
And I would also say that we probably would want to add in a little bit more above the actual cost of the stewards themselves for Stefan's management. That there's an overhead fee that we'd have to add to that, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I think that's only fair.
Yep.
So, Stefan, what I'm going to do is I'm going to offer, you know, let's try to set that up. Claudia, you've got Bob's calendar. I know he's in doing the budget meetings, you know, this week and probably into next.
Yeah. He finishes up tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
But Friday is a Board of Selectmen package day.
Yeah,
so early next week would probably be his next availability.
Okay, so let's look at that.
Okay.
As a possibility for doing it next week. I'm pretty loose most of the time. So
why don't I take a look at his calendar and I can shoot over some dates to both you, Warren and Stefan.
Yeah.
And then we can.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll send a heads-up email to Liz, Dan, and David saying that we'd like to get together and just say it's probably, you know, it's not going to be for sure before next week, and just kind of get a feel of their availability too.
Yeah. I would say, you know, Monday and Tuesday next week, the 11th and 12th, are fine. I could certainly, you know, meet on the 13th, Wednesday. That's fine as well. I'm pretty open anytime during the day, pretty much the entire week, you know, I'm good.
I think if we're going to involve Dave, I believe he has commitments from 2 on in the afternoon, so it would be more of a morning or early afternoon meeting. Probably a morning meeting would work better for him, if that works for everybody.
Okay. Well, that's fine with me.
Okay. Know.
All right, so yeah, Bob will be our sticky wicket, as they say in Canada.
I'll take a look and send over some time slots for you for Monday, Tuesday.
Great.
Okay, great.
Morning dates.
Cool. All right, so hopefully next time we'll have a proposal to digest and hopefully recommend.
So, you know, I'm just, well, I won't, I guess I should. Dollar figures. I mean, I just multiplied in my head. So we're talking somewhere that our budget request is going to be somewhere in the $10,000 to $15,000 range. and depending on the number of counselors. And maybe that's some of the thing your discussions also, Bob, could include is to, you know, like I say, I'm looking at 1 to 3. Obviously, it's cheaper to have 2 than it is to have 3. So whatever you guys are thinking.
Yeah.
Get some suggestions from them as to what they...
Yeah, I want to start off with what do we need? You know, what would
yeah.
be...
Okay.
You know, what is it that we need? And then, you know, then we can then back into the numbers.
Yeah.
Just, you know, what and then what can we afford? I mean, I'm looking at this in a couple of ways. First, that some of this can be offset by the amount of money that we would... that we could be putting into a police officer, an overtime police officer.
Exactly.
To do a lot of this stuff.
Exactly.
You know, and also offset by folks like the Warners who...
Exactly.
You know, are, who have expressed an interest in...
Yep,
the
yep,
yep. So, because they are, it's definitely a benefit to them. You know, it's one less person that they have to allocate to this function. You know, so, so yeah, I think that, that 10 to 15, I think 15 is definitely an outlier. And if the Warner, if it turns out that we fund 2 and the Warners fund the 3rd one, you know, we could be in, we can be in very good shape.
One thing, I think you guys will also want to consider is, you know, there's some, I think, things that are unique to Canton that I probably don't have knowledge about that, that, you know, you'll want to pass on to the stewards. So somehow they'll have to receive at least a little bit of training for, you know, maybe some of your areas that are outside of the, what we're familiar with, if you have any unique problems in town. So I don't know, you know, who from the committee or if there's anybody else you would think of that may, you know, be able to do that as well.
Yeah. So you need the sort of a, for lack of a better word, a subject matter expert from our neck of the woods, really.
Exactly, yeah.
And, okay. So I think we can, between, I think between you, yeah, you, me, Dave Sinish, the Warners, and maybe a few others, we can kind of figure that out. There's, I know, you know, I know that the Warners probably know a great deal about what's currently going on. I mean, I know Dave has been, is very knowledgeable too. But I kind of want to have the Warners in there too to say, yeah, this is what's unique to this operation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good point, you know, cause yeah. Yeah. All right. Good. So great. Let's move on to...
Stefan, you don't have any trouble getting recruits for this because this actually, on the surface of it, sounds pretty enjoyable, especially if the weather is good. Your job is to get paid to go out on the river and talk to people. That seemed like that would be a desirable thing. I don't know.
Well, it's funny you ask that. You know, Bob and I yesterday were talking about that, and you know, you would think that, but... we've been pretty lucky in the past. I mean, I have a relationship with one of the professors up at Northwestern Community College, and then Liz Lacey used to work up in Westfield. And between those two places and basically our posting that we do on social media, we've done it in newspapers, we've gotten usually a couple more applicants than we need for the year, and they've always been pretty good, especially from the colleges. But it's not like people are knocking down the doors. I mean, we don't have, you know, 10, 15 applicants that we have
right.
to turn away each
yeah.
year. And the Housatonic River last year was actually having, you know, they have a similar steward program. They were having trouble hiring stewards, and they actually contacted me to see if I could give them a
wow.
hand. So it's not as many people as you would think apply. So, you know, especially now during COVID, I think, you know, depending on how that situation
true,
goes,
true.
You know, we may have to put a little more effort into advertising that position this year.
So one adding 1 to 3 would not break the bank of or drain the supply?
Hopefully
us out.
Not. hopefully not.
Okay. Well, hey, you know, we'll go look at, we'll try it out. We'll see what we run into. This is what I wanted.
Yeah. It's a step forward, and I'm sure, I'm sure we'll have a couple of things to overcome, but we can do it.
As long as you guys don't offer more money to the stewards down in Canton and take them away from us.
No. We want them to blend in with you. That's what we want.
Of course, we will be giving them what, those Collinsville logos, the army.
Right.
Yeah. They're going to want to be here. Yeah.
Meal tickets to all of the restaurants in Collinsville, that type of stuff.
No pressure. Okay, so let's move on to our old business, which is the questionnaire. We put out a draft last time, which was applauded and almost made it to the light of day until Stefan came in and said, "Hey, I got some questions here too. Which are pretty good. Have you thought about these?" And we looked and we thought about them and we thought, "Yeah, these are pretty good." So. What I did was I took the, and Stefan was good enough to provide us with the 20 some odd questions that FRCC uses. I think the stewards use them, on the weekends, if I've got that correct.
Yeah, that's right.
And then what I did is I took that and sort of chucked out the ones that I thought were less relevant to us and folded them into what we already had and threw out some of the stuff that I had that, I didn't think worked so much as well as Stefan's. And so what we have before us is, 13 questions, which could be a lucky number or an unlucky number, depending on your on your reading of biblical history. So I'm just wondering how these things look to you. Stefan and Steve and Jason, I know Jason's on the call now. I don't know if you guys have, I doubt you guys have them. They do.
I think
they
sent them with the email as an attachment.
Yeah. We've got them, yeah.
All right, good. So.
Hi, this is Jason. Thanks for sending this to me. I'm curious, how are we going to send this out, and who do we expect to respond? Are we talking about people in town, people outside of town? I guess I'm just trying to figure out what information we're trying to glean here. What's the goal of this survey or questionnaire? Sorry if I'm a little behind. I missed last month's meeting, so I apologize.
It's quite all right, Steve. Jason, I think it's an important question. I think we have several constituencies. We've got folks who use the river. We have folks who serve the users of the river, and then we also have people who live around the river. Either next to the river or nearby, who are affected by the use of the river. So those are those three constituencies. I think this one here, this questionnaire, is geared towards the users. And I think there are needs, because we have those three groups, we would probably need to if we like this one for the users, then we could rework it so that it would fit the other two groups.
When we
so use
this
targeting
survey.
Specific people?
No, basically this would be pretty much anyone who uses the river. So this might be someone who, I know that the FRCC uses their questionnaire for users up at Satan's Kingdom. Is that correct, Stefan?
Yeah, what we did with, our similar survey, we didn't do it this summer due to COVID. We did it in 2019, and part of the reason for having a more elaborate survey that year is we were thinking of a possibly creating a rec management plan. But we administered the survey both in person and then had a similar survey that was hosted online that we could put on social media and also with our email blast, get it out to people. So it was both an in-person and an online version.
All right. So, and that was geared for users, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Stefan, may I ask what program did you use? Was it SurveyMonkey or to establish and distribute that questionnaire?
We used, I'm drawing a blank here, Zoho.
Okay.
And the reason we chose it was one of the few surveys that I found, I did a lot of research on this, that you could do both on and offline surveys. When you were offline, you just record them on a tablet. They were stored there. And then the next time you connected to Wi-Fi, they would automatically upload. So there were very few that kind of filled both bills.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So why don't we just look at this for now as a user's questionnaire. So any thoughts about this as a user questionnaire?
This is Steve. I've got some comments.
Yep.
You knew I would.
Yeah.
Just looking at it from a you know, the 64,000 view of this thing. Questions 1, 2, and 7.
Yeah.
All seem to be like related to the actual usage of the river. What's going on? What are you doing on the river?
Yeah.
I would recommend that those three questions be grouped together. Instead of 1, 2, and 7, they should be 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
All right. 3, 4, 5, and 6 all have to do with the tactical aspects of getting into the water. They're all, you know, parking and access points and stuff like that. So the four of them together makes sense. I like that. Okay. Then you got 8, 9, and 13, which all have to do with sort of the commercial aspects of this. You know, what businesses are you patronizing? How much money are you spending? But they all have to do with the other, you know, the commercial aspect of their activities. So I think those three ought to go together. And then you got number 12, which is like, what additional activities? I would think that would be like your last question, because you want to find out what else would you like to see on here?
Okay.
10 and 11, I'm not sure about. What is your age group? First of all, you need to define what groups are. What is the purpose of that question?
Well, just to, you know, get a little bit of demographic information. Stefan's questionnaire goes a little deeper, gets into what language is spoken at home. I don't think you guys don't get into how far did you drive to get here, did you? I don't think that was in your questionnaire, Stefan.
We just asked them for zip codes, and if they gave them, then I created a GIS map of the zip codes.
Yeah, that's a helpful thing. It really is. All right, so seeing as I've got word here, what I've done, Steve, is I actually moved question 7 into the number 3 spot.
Yeah, okay.
So the next one would be question 4, which is where do you access the river, where do you park, is there enough parking, and then the 7th question would be, in your opinion, are there enough river access points? And then I've got number 8 as, do you typically pay a business to help you access the river? Followed by approximately how much do you usually spend? And then I've got the age question.
Well, I would put 13 next after 8 and 9.
Okay, so 13, what business do you patronize?
Right, it's another commercial. It's at getting towards the commercial side of the river, usage.
Okay.
River. So those three. I had a little trouble with the last part of that question 13.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find better wording for it. What business did you patronize as part of your river access? One could interpret that as being the same thing as question number 8. Well, as part of accessing the river, I buy a tube or I hire a fishing guide. what you're really looking at is not as part of the river access, but sort of like associated with your use of the river.
Right.
You know, do I stop at a restaurant when you...
Yeah, go to a restaurant to get ice cream cone.
That's what you're trying to get at, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
we're really trying to say what additional businesses. What
exactly? Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I'll just put what additional businesses do you patronize as part of your river access?
Don't we care where they're coming from?
We do.
I would think most people that live in Canton or very close to the river, anyways, wouldn't really know how to answer that because they don't necessarily connect using the river with shopping in on Main Street. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think it's important.
Yep. Important to know.
I think it's a... Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure a lot of people are going to be able to answer that question very clearly, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you might be surprised. I mean, I've talked to several people up in North Canton, you know, who you say, okay, well, it's Canton. And a surprising number... You know, to see Collinsville and the river and stuff is kind of a special trip. You know, they regard it a little bit more as visitors than as residents, which is kind of weird. You know,
we have to pack a lunch to get there and back.
I'm telling you, it's not that far. We're not that far away from where we were 100 years ago. We really aren't. But seriously, we're not quite as cohesive yet as the zip code would let us believe. So it might be interesting if the question kind of, you know, if the responses show us that, you know, these guys are lost with that question, we can certainly address it.
But again, I think whoever was suggesting it really did hit the idea that we're after here. I said, hey, do you go get an ice cream cone after? Do you go play miniature golf? Do you go, walk around Collinsville? Do you, those type of things?
Yeah, I mean, and we could even put in some suggestions, you know, like ice cream.
Or eating, or a meal. Walking, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
So would it be, adding another question, another demographic question having to do with their point of origin?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask.
So you want to say something like, where did you come from?
Well, you could say, do you live in Canton? Or did you come from outside Canton today?
Or we can just say, what is your home zip code?
You could ask. You're less likely to get that specific, I think, but maybe.
Well, if we do that, could say... 06019, they don't know that I live on South Street.
Right. And since I have 3 zip codes here in Canton, I can use any one of them. So.
Yeah, you're cheating, I'm telling you. Okay, I'm just going to put in, what is your home zip code? Okay.
And the last one is, are you aware of the No Glass, No Trash campaign?
All right, so that would be the last question.
Well, again, what is the purpose of that?
I think that's to find out. The No Glass, No Trash campaign is a big deal for FRCC. There's a lot of, you know, there's been some signage. There's some brochures about it. I think FRCC would like to know, you know, has anybody seen it? How effective is it?
So this is to measure then the effectiveness of the FRCC campaign.
Yes.
Awareness of this thing. Okay.
That's some of it, but it's also pointing to and prompting to a behavior issue on the thing is that if they're completely oblivious to no glass, no trash, then we probably want to step up something in that area so that we, again, trying to encourage proper behavior as we go through this.
Yeah, good point. Good point. So let me run through this one more time. I've got number one, how do you use the river? 2, how many times do you visit? 3, how many other people typically come with you? 4, where do you access the river? 5,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Do we care where they put in and take out if they are doing that?
Yes.
Yes.
Should we expand on access to the river?
In what regard? To say in and out?
Yeah.
To add that thought? Okay.
If it's easy enough. If not, that's okay.
Okay, so where do you enter the river?
Yeah.
And where
enter
do you
and take out?
Where do you enter and exit the river?
Yeah, that's what I would say. Well, where do you access and exit the river?
Okay. They're open-ended questions. So you can ask and get both answers,
So that will be number four. Where do you access and exit the river? And then where do you park is number five. Number six is there enough parking? And number seven, in your opinion, are there enough access points? Number eight, do you typically pay a business to help you access the river? Number nine, approximately how much do you usually spend to come to the river? Then we have, what additional businesses do you patronize as part of your river access? And number 11, are there additional activities that you would like to see on the river? And what is your age group? What is your home zip code? And number 14, the last question, are you aware of the No Glass, No Trash campaign?
One suggestion I would make is a couple of the questions, like, for instance, your age group and how much do you spend when you come to the river. We decided to put in multiple choice ranges. That way, if you do end up going with a software like Zohu, you won't get, 100 different, this person spent $51, this person spent $32. You can actually get some graphs with the range. If you just ask for, individual numbers, you won't be able to use the graph functions for some of the questions.
Yeah, okay. I'm putting in a little note in parentheses after those two questions, and note says provide choices. Okay. So I think, say we've got a pretty good draft here for a river access questionnaire for the users. And I'm going to save that on my computer. And then, Claudia, I'll share this with you, and then we can share this with everyone.
Sure.
Then I think we ought to go into, then look at this again from the point of view of vendors.
Would that include questions such as I'm not sure how to phrase it. What kind of traffic do you see because of people that are also accessing the river? Something like that. Do you notice a connection between the river traffic and business activity? Or
yeah, I
don't know how to.
Pardon me for 1 second. I have a small errand to run. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Are we talking about are we targeting specific businesses to ask these specific questions to?
No, I hadn't thought we would. I'm just, because here's what I have a predisposition as to who I think is, is benefiting the businesses are and the type of businesses that are in, but I suspect that I am not covered all of the cases, so I'm not necessarily. So if I were to target, I would pick, I would do my pre-selected list or area and miss out on others, which I think may be there. I give you kind of a simple example is that several of the times when we've gone down, we've actually just walked along the river several times, and we wound up going to the antique store down there. Well, that wasn't on my plan. Of course, I should have known it was my wife and my daughter-in-law and her mother, and so we kind of got distracted. But and I wouldn't have said that they would have received additional foot traffic because of somebody was attracted to the river. So As a tuber, that may not be work out at all. I don't know.
I mean, I was actually thinking there's probably a lot of businesses that have negative effects of this, right?
Ooh. Like,
I'm sure that Chow's has people parking in their spot. I'm sure the same thing goes for Ocean State. I'm positive of it. Like, I think a total different set of information that we can get from asking different types of businesses.
Okay. Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, that's excellent. So, Bob, we were just discussing about would we targeting specific vendors, and I was explaining that I was not thinking about that because I have kind of a predisposition towards who I would be targeting if I did, and that I think there are others out there that are getting benefits that we'd like to hear from. And I think it was Jason was suggesting as well, there's probably also some businesses that are adversely impacted because of visitors taking up parking spots that would be for that particular business, but now somebody is using it for several hours to go out on the river somewhere.
Right. I think you're exactly right. I think we need to capture that for sure. So we've got for vendors, so we've got parking issues. We've got traffic. We've got sales. We may want to talk about some other adverse effects. Crime. Do you want to even get into that?
I'm sure Bristles would say yes.
I'm a bit hesitant to try to give a laundry list of the crimes that are going on because, A, we'd probably maybe given ideas, and B, probably would want to talk to the chief to see if he's got any reports that he's experiencing or seeing anything like that. So
I'm just suggesting we reach out to those businesses and say, what are the effects of this heavy river traffic for you? The business, they can tell us what the problems are.
I agree more with that approach.
Yeah, although I'll tell you, I'd like to focus them a little bit more than that, because somebody, what I've noticed is that if there was, say, there was a long line to use the toilet at LaSalle,
right?
And you talk to Eileen the next day, or that day or the next day, Eileen's going to talk about the need for public restrooms.
Okay.
But you may not talk at all about parking. You may not talk at all about the increase in sales. She will be very hot on, very interested, very hot, if you will, on the issue that's in her face at the moment.
So you would suggest you'd put a list of suggestions from crime, restroom, parking, vandalism, that type of stuff, noise.
Well, I think from what I see is that when there's an increase in traffic in town, the vendors in Collinsville, the vendors in Collinsville are faced with an increase in traffic, and the vendors deal with it in different ways. And I've seen Eileen, I saw Sean Butler and Glenn Francesco's is on Main Street, both of them actually going down the street and picking up litter off the sidewalk. When we had the farmers market on Sundays, they would do this. I'm sure others do it as well. That's an issue that we typically don't think about, but it's real. We do have an increase in the amount of solid waste that gets disposed of in and around these areas when we attract the crowd.
So, Bob, you're suggesting that in our questionnaire we give a list of these things to prompt the vendor to respond with? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I think I think part of it is to know what the issue is and also to understand the impact. You know, so, you know, have they done anything to, what have they done to accommodate it? I mean, have they added a trash barrel? Have they put on an extra person?
Yeah.
Have they, you know, and it could be a plus thing too. I mean, it could be, you know, LaSalle has typically on a good weather Saturday or Sunday, when they know that the river is going to be used, they have to bring in a couple more people, you know, somebody on the grill and a couple more servers.
So on the questionnaire, we're saying, we'd say, give them some categories and say, what are the, I'll say pluses and minus, but what's the right answer? Are there positive as well as adverse impacts to this? I mean, is that how you want to do the questionnaire?
Well, yeah. I mean, first, maybe we can say how do you see or have you seen an increase in sales?
From the river, from Woosburg Access, yeah.
From people using the Farmington River.
You know, for a moment there, I thought that I had some mice in my attic chewing away, and then I realized that you're typing, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm a loud typist. My wife says, you type too loud. Sorry, I'm gonna tell you. You know, so I would say, yeah. Have you seen an increase in sales from people using the Farmington River?
I would probably say business or visits or something like that, rather than just sales.
I would say sales as opposed to visits, because that's different.
You have a better sense of that than I do.
Well, ultimately, you know, it's like. Visits, it's kind of like a website, you know, it's like you can have
that's true.
in the world, but if they're not buying anything, then you're, you know, you're just sort of subsidizing their tire kicking, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not paying the bill.
Right.
Then what else would we want to see? Are you... do you see, you know, have you had to hire or,
add staff?
Yeah. Or why don't we just say schedule additional staff?
Okay.
To accommodate the increased traffic.
Okay.
And then, you know, what has, you know, has this additional staff? If yes, what has this additional staff been asked to do?
I'm not sure how deep I want to probe on this stuff, but that, yeah, I see where you're going. Again,
yeah.
I trust your instincts, but still.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're going to do, too, is kind of trot these things out, you know, show it to Eileen, you know, show it to John Warner and a few others and say, you know, is this, you know, are we getting it here?
Right. Okay, that's a good idea. Yeah.
You know, they're gonna make us smarter on this.
Okay.
Then I would just say, has river traffic translated to vehicle traffic in parking? Just ask them that. Just not say, okay. Don't even call it problems, but just,
okay. Yeah.
You know. And I don't know how much more, how much deeper we want to get into it. Just like, what additional... Well,
we
yeah.
do want to ask them, like, you know, we added this, are there additional activities you'd like to see on the river? Maybe there's an equivalent thing that we could ask.
Yeah.
Okay, so are there... Bob, just to clarify, what you're...
Well, Bob, you're in a very interesting situation, is it, where your typewriter is still nice and loud, but your voice is not so loud. I don't know how you did that.
How I became...
Oh, there you go. Now I can hear you better.
Oh, wait. What did I do? Maybe I touched the volume.
No. I think you may have sat back too far. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes when I'm typing, I tend to mumble. I'm a mumbling typer. This is
it sounds too... like you're using an old school typewriter too.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Yeah, if you hear a zip and a ding, the game's up.
Exactly. The zip and a ding. I need to have one of those.
Oh, geez.
So why don't we just ask straight out, in your opinion, is there enough parking?
Okay.
If you want to ask like specific questions about the upside, such as increased sales, or the downside, such as, you know, is there a parking issue, that's fine. But I tend to agree with Jason. I think you need to have some open-ended questions, because part of the whole reason of having a survey, going back to our very first meeting, was we're not sure we know everything.
Right.
If you identify, think, well, we know about this, is it, and you're really getting a parameter of how much of what we already know about is it being impacted, you're not asking questions about that come out of left field that you don't even know about.
Right.
So
right.
You need to have, so yeah, how much do you think your sales are increasing, and have you seen any other benefits? And just leave it open-ended. Let them tell
it.
Okay.
I like that.
The other thing I think you got to be careful about is how are they going to know the difference between an uptick or a downtick from river traffic versus things like rail trail hikers or bicyclists or stuff like that? How are you going to separate that out?
Good point.
Yeah, they may not be able to.
All right. In which case, now you'd have no basis for interpreting your survey. Because, oh, yeah, sales went way up last weekend. It may not have anything to do with tubers. It might have been that the rail trail just got a lot of traffic, in which case you're getting nowhere with it. So somehow we need to at least allude to the fact that how much of this appears to be from the river traffic as opposed to non-river traffic.
Yeah, I like that.
I was definitely sure how to ask that.
Yeah, I like that.
You can just say, you know, have you seen any, the first question is, have you seen an increase in sales from people using the Farmington River? Then the second question is, have you seen any other benefits from increased river traffic?
And those two questions alone, I think, will cover everything on the upside. And then similar thing on the downside. If you have specific problems, you want to identify them, fine. But then have an open-ended, what other problems,
yep.
what other issues seem to be coming up as a result of river traffic, and let them tell us.
Yeah. Oh, we definitely want to.
Yeah, I think Steve's in the right direction here.
Yeah. Okay. So here's where I took it. Oh, no, 8 questions. Maybe like that. Actually, 9. So the first question, have you seen an increase in sales from the people using the Farmington River? Have you seen any other benefits from increased river traffic? That's the second. Third is, have you had to schedule additional staff to increase the to accommodate the increased traffic? And number four, if yes, what has this additional staff been asked to do? Number five, has river traffic translated to increased vehicle traffic and parking? Number six, in your opinion, is there enough parking? Number seven, what other issues do you see arising from increased river traffic? Number eight, are there additional activities that you would like to see on the river? And number nine, just for curiosity, are you aware of the No Glass, No Trash campaign? I'd like to know if they know about it.
Okay. All right.
Now, do you think we've got this, that this is ready to be shared with some vendors to see if they...
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do we want to try our minds on the last one, on the neighbors?
We were going to do a third version for the neighbors?
Yeah. Steve, you should be all over this.
Yeah, I figured we'll just write down what Steve says.
And I'm sort of thinking, you know, maybe I don't want to tackle that right now. Maybe I want to take the next 2 weeks to think about that.
Okay.
Because I'm sure I can get some input from the neighbors.
We would probably get the survey already answered if we.
Oh yeah. You're probably right. I don't need a survey to know what the issue is.
Right. I think what you would probably do is you'd lop off the first the first four questions of the vendor survey, and. And I think you'd have it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think we'll have to ask the question of, you know, where do we want the Gatling gun mounted to get rid of it?
No. Enough of that. Jeez. Those Gatling guns. Boy, they catch the imagination. All right. So I think we've got enough of that. So I guess let's go on to our future meeting schedule.
Before we do that, ask one question.
Sure.
We're talking about the river stewards and being able to get a proposal for the town budget. We talked way back about the possibility of having to do signage.
Yeah.
We have to get that in time to get into the budget. Do you want to talk at all about signage, or do we have enough time before the budget is due to do it, maybe at the next meeting?
I think, Bob, as I've been looking at the calendar here, is that we probably would typically do the 20th 2 weeks from today.
Yep.
And basically, that's probably we'd have to prepare our draft initial report or go over the contents of it, because that's going to be, because we want to present that to the Board of Select, you know, because we have until the 1st, but the Board of Selectmen meet on the 27th. So I think that's probably our target, to be able to present to them. Mm-hmm. And that would include some kind of budget impacts. I mean, we can include some of this. We could defer discussing the signage until then. But I think that what we want to focus on that next meeting is you know, what's our initial report going to say to the Board of Selectmen to help them on their budget considerations?
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking that, you know, and Bob, please weigh in on this. I'm thinking that, you know, we've got three areas here. We've got the stewards, we've got signage, and then potentially, you know, police coverage.
Overtime, yeah.
Overtime. So those are the three areas that we would be looking at. And so what we might do is do some placeholders, you know, just for signage. You just say, You know, if we're thinking about signage in key areas, you know, like the takeout, you know, a couple of the, you know, takeout areas and a couple of put-in areas, you know, and say, okay, the total on that's going to be 6 to 8 signs, we can make them in house, or if we make them in house, they cost X. If we contract them, they'll cost Y. If we plug in a number of for police overtime similar to what we paid this past year, we could do that too.
Yeah, I'd like to. I would encourage the chief to provide that number.
If I may, the police budget as presented already has a fairly substantial increase request in overtime. And one of the areas for justification for it is patrolling the river.
Okay.
So they've already got that built into their budget, along with a number of other things.
Good.
The signage, depending on what kind of signs you want, we do have a portion of our DPW budget that covers signage. If you wanted some additional signs, it kind of depends on what type of sign you want and how fancy you want it. If it's not too fancy, we can do it in-house. If you want to order them, outside, that's fine too, especially if they're going to be a lot of the same sign. You might go order a dozen of them, or, half a dozen, all the same sign. But, I don't think those are the big ticket items. The overtime will be, and you'll be in sticker shock anyways when you get the police budget.
Yeah.
I think the one number that I'd be, interested in is the steward program and what we think the number for that will be. Because that's really a category that we don't currently have, at least in that form. And I'd be, want to know, one, how much and in what form would that take? Would it be a stipend to, the River Association? Would it be some other form? But that's the number that I think we are currently missing from the budget.
All right. And that's, I don't know if you were on the call yet when we discussed that. But
I was, and I apologize. I was in budget. In fact, ironic, I was meeting with the police. So
that's why you have a focus on it. We conspired against you to set up a potential meeting early next week with the Farms and River Coordinating Committee to talk about the stewards and how that would work.
Okay.
So,
I think it's fair to say is that my preferred approach on this is that we give them the money to do the run the stewards for them, for us, and extend to cover down towards down into Collinsville, and I think that's the approach that we want to take that we're taking.
That's what I'm encouraging. That would be my preferred approach,
right.
Also.
Yeah,
we were all in agreement. I'm on that. So. Okay, so I'm thinking the next meeting will probably be the 20th.
That's what I was looking at, yeah.
Then we've got the 3rd of February, the 3rd, and then the 17th. And that will be it for now.
Right.
Where we're at after that.
Yeah, and like I say, I think the primary topic of the January 20th meeting is to prepare our initial report to the Board of Selectmen.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, there are other things like the signage. We probably ought to, now that I think about it, we probably ought to talk a little bit, pin down a little bit more about what type and how many as we can. On that.
Sure, and maybe something that we coordinate with the FRCC.
As well, if they've got something,
It is still too early to know whether the concession is going to start up again this year, is it? We won't know that till probably mid-spring or so.
I thought they were awarding that contract as we went. I mean, I thought it was expected at imminent by now, is my thinking. Is that I thought it was, they were going to have it done by the end of 2020.
Stefan, do you have any insight on that?
No, I have not heard anything.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be a big
difference.
I'm sorry to backtrack. What is the gist of the signs you guys were talking about? What would they say?
The signs would be to indicate this is, you know, this is where people can park. This is what, you know, this is what we expect in terms of behavior. That kind of thing.
Okay. Jason, the last year, because of the COVID, there was no tubing concession. And when there is a concession, the parking, although it's heavy at the pickup point, the drop-in point is at the state parking area upstream. It's really not a problem. Last year, it became a real problem. They were parking on Bristol Farm. They were parking on the side of 44. It really became a problem. And yep. If there is no concession, you can expect that same kind of activity occurring again this year. And we got to do something about, you know, protecting the right of way of people on 44 and Bristol Farm in particular, the property owner, protect them from the kind of activities that happened last year.
Yep, that makes sense. Thanks.
That's why I asked the question about the concession. If this concession is going to start up again, we probably wouldn't need signage there because the concession itself seems to do a pretty good job of monitoring that traffic.
Right, but Steve, we have other needs.
Absolutely, yeah.
We want to have that. We want to think about that too. All right, so January 20th, February 3rd, and 17th.
Maybe we can quiz. I'm flipping through my notes trying to get the name of the fellow up there at Satan's Kingdom.
The concessionaire?
No. Jim Warner from DEP.
Oh.
Is to see, because he was the guy that was giving us the schedule about when they, when the con, because they said that their contract was up for rebid, and that was over a month ago that we talked to him about that, and I thought that he was expecting to have it by now. So I maybe we could just ask a real quick question to him, see if he knows what the status of that is.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
That probably could even be done by email, I guess.
Yeah, cool. Very well. Be happy to do that. All right. So if we're all set with the meeting schedule, I think we can safely adjourn, perhaps. Yeah?
Move we adjourn.
Okay, I'll second that motion, and I'll say aye. Call the question.
Aye.
Okay, and we are adjourned at 5:20. All right, I want to thank everybody for your input. Very valuable. I think we've made some real progress. And
thanks,
okay.
Thank you.
All right, see you in a couple weeks.
See you guys.
Bye.